8816, immediate suppression on target.
That's why I see him in the shot.
Shot or no shot with Cap'n J-Hood on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN Chicago app.
That's why I see him in the shot.
Good morning and welcome in to the Cap'n J-Hood Morning Show on ESPN 1000 and streaming on the ESPN Chicago app with David Kaplan, Jonathan Hood with you. Now time for Shot or No Shot, and it's brought to you by...
That'd be ESPN Bet, now live in Illinois. Sign up today and users get $100 in bonus bets with any sportsbook bet. We say good morning to Shea W. Norland.
Good morning, boys. Kathy has woken the dragon in me in this little debate about what the Bears should do at 9, but how are we doing on a Thursday morning? Deal Breakers Thursday.
We're good, man. We're good because we're 7 days away from the entire trajectory of the franchise changing.
How big is the dragon in you?
I'm trying to think of a funny retort, and I don't have one.
Oh. I mean, you're the one that...
3-4 inches?
Well, you offered the dragon. So I was wondering how big is that dragon inside of you when it comes to the NFL draft?
Large. You'll find out in around the NFL, actually.
See?
I have a list of opinions that I have cultivated about this upcoming draft in a week.
See, that's what I want.
And we'll do that in about 15 minutes.
All right.
Looking forward to it.
Shot or no shot. Here's Shea Norley.
Before we get to that, NFL.com has put out a hypothetical trade between the Bears and the Kansas City Chiefs. I don't know if you saw this, but Chiefs fans on Twitter were losing their minds about it. Furious at the idea that this could be a part of the process and that the Chiefs might be looking to find a replacement for Travis Kelce. The trade had the Chiefs moving up to number 9, where they would select Brock Bowers. To move to 9, they give up pick 32 this year, pick 64 this year, a fourth round pick this year, and a first round pick next year. Poles gets 4 picks from Kansas City, 2 firsts, a second, and a fourth, to let them come up to 9 for Bowers and move all the way down to 32. Shot or no shot, the Bears would have to say no to this.
Shot? I'm not going to 32. You crazy? So I can pick 32 again next year with Kansas City's pick because they win the Super Bowl again? No shot.
There's some value there. At least for the Chiefs it has been.
Yeah, the Chiefs are getting another star.
Yes.
And I'm going... Well, I follow the Shea Norling model, and I'm going to get a conglomeration of picks. No, I want the superstar. Sorry, Kansas City. Piss off.
It's a no shot.
Take that.
It's a no shot, and the reason why is because at this point in time, unless the Bears were a Super Bowl contender, then you could take that because you say, oh, the Bears are always in the mix for the Super Bowl. So if they pick high, if they pick low, they'll always find quality. Because they're this, a player, a piece, a couple pieces away from getting to where they need to be.
Correct.
But where the Bears are right now, no, I'm good.
I'm on a star.
stay at the top. And then when you get good, then we'll look at the bottom of the draft. Say, where's your value? How can you get guys at the bottom? You know, what few players can you get to be able to get you over the top? And so not at this time, no.
Yeah. The only way I told you, the only way I'm moving down is if you said there's 3 guys I have in my blue level, the top level, and I'm going down 2 picks, and I'm guaranteed to get 1 of them, or whatever the math works out to.
Shay.
All right, Sauce Gardner tweeted yesterday, quote, how do Chicago got 2 top 10 picks on top of the talent they already got? Who did they fleece? I just wake up and play football. I don't know about draft and trades. What really stands out to me here is the quote, on top of the talent they already got.
Mm-hmm.
Shot or no shot, other teams' players are getting afraid of how good the Bears could be.
That's a shot. Now, afraid might be a little strong. Sauce Gardner, who am I covering? Did my check get in the bank and I'm the best cover guy in the league? Which he arguably is. But he's not like a football file like we are. Oh, God, you see what Seattle did this and the Bears did that and the first day of free. He doesn't care about that stuff. He's not a fan. He's a player.
Sauce Gardner, it's funny because he's just realizing, you know, he's been in the league for a couple of years. It just kind of occurred to him looking at the Bears and say, wait a minute, how do they get there? Because Sauce Gardner is a player. Like, and as far as teams being aware, I think, especially in the NFC North, they're very aware that the Bears are an up-and-coming team. A team that was a doormat, a team that was a laughingstock, now has been able to stockpile two number one picks and all of this movement in free agency. I think that the league is starting to figure out, and I don't think all players, because they're concerned about their own welfare, but I think there's certain players and certain teams are like, wow, look what the Bears are doing. So I would say that's a shot. I would say that. But I think it's funny that Sauce Gardner wakes up one morning and goes, oh, look what the Bears are doing. Two in the top two. Well, how do they do that?
Right.
You know, with the Jets, you know, he's got his own drama he's got to deal with.
I've had players. Well, Tim Anderson.
Yeah.
Said to me, I don't watch baseball.
He does not.
He's not sit there like we do on Twitter going, oh, free agency open in baseball. Who'd the Cubs get? He did not care.
Yes.
He's like, I don't pay attention to any of it. I just play.
Shay, this is how that works, right? You wake up, you work out, you go to work, and you go through, you know, your meetings and, you know, you do your workouts before your game. And then through the locker room, someone will say, hey, did you know so-and-so is going to the Bears? Or did you see what so-and-so is doing? Yeah? Tell me more about it. I see it here on Twitter. I see this on Instagram. They're getting the number one pick again, Caleb Williams. Oh, okay. And they just kind of move on with their business.
Right.
That's usually how that works, right?
Correct.
There isn't the breakdown that we do every morning. It's just kind of like, oh, word? Oh, okay.
Like a lot of players don't listen to the radio and read the social media posts of Adam Schefter and Field Yates and Mel Kiper. They're not into that. We are.
Unless they're misquoted.
Correct.
Then they go after them.
Correct.
Well, that part of it I get. I think the part that surprises me here is like just having no idea about what's going on in the league as it pertains to who's making trades with who and getting higher picks in the draft. But, like, are most players like that? Do you think the majority of NFL players really have no idea who is getting traded or what's getting traded or where teams are moving in the draft? They're just like, whoever ends up on our team ends up on our team. We're going to help them out.
Correct.
I think that the answer to the question is yes.
Yeah, 100%.
And here's what it comes to, Shay, and this is just my experience being around athletes. It's, did I go to college with this person? Did I play against this person in college or high school?
Bingo.
That's the thing. Do we have the same agent? That's how you get the information. Just like, hey, by the way, your guy just signed so-and-so. Oh, okay. That kind of thing.
Oh, he's going, that's my boy. We went to school together.
But scouring the transactions or going through your Twitter feed to find out what's going on with the latest with the Arizona Cardinals when you play for the Jets, that's not happening.
They don't care.
No, because they're so busy doing other things.
Correct.
And other people.
Correct.
Here's Shane Orlick.
Yes.
All right, David Schoenfield at ESPN wrote up each MLB team's top trade candidate. Had one name for the Cubs.
Schoenfield. Last time I talked to him, Shay, we got into this argument, the old night show. Got into this argument. This guy was making the case for Mark Burley to the Hall of Fame.
Ugh.
A huge, like this, and we had a brawl. I'm like, that's not happening. And he wrote a column on ESPN.com like, look, I love Mark Burley like the next White Sox. But are you going to lower the standards that much? Hall of Fame person.
Right. The Hall of Fame, Hall of Very Good if he's a Hall of Famer.
Well, go ahead.
All right. He had an interesting name for the Cubs as the one most tradable player, the top trade candidate. Alexander Canario. Canario seemed to leapfrog Pete Crow Armstrong when he got called up this week amid the Seiya Suzuki injury. He has an RBI double and just two at-bats so far. But shot or no shot, the Cubs should be willing to deal Canario if it means strengthening the bullpen.
Wow. How old is Canario?
23.
Yeah, no. I'm tired of watching other guys that we trade to get relievers, like Jorge Soler, who goes and hits 47 bombs for Kansas City.
Do you want help or not? Yesterday, you did a whole thing about how this team needs to be willing to go and get an arm. You got to call somebody up. You got to do. But then I bring up any prospect. If I brought up PCA, it would have been no. If I brought up Kate Horton, it would have been no. Bring up Alexander Canario, now it's no. Do you want help or do you want to hug kids? What do you want?
I want some guy out of Class A that's we trade.
Don't be holding up Jose. Don't be holding up George Soler. Don't do that. You know he just wasn't good enough with the Cubs. He just blossomed. You didn't see that coming. None of us did.
You paid him $30 million in international money. You better have seen it coming.
Did you? But did you see it in a Cub uniform? You did not.
Yeah, he was on that World Series team now.
Eh. But you know what I mean. Like, he was never that with the
Cubs.
Won
the World Series MVP with who, Atlanta?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I understand your point, but you know that that just wasn't, you know, some are late bloomers.
Yeah, I'd like to give Canario a chance to play, personally. I mean, what am I getting back? A middling reliever? Yeah, I need help. I've been pining for help.
What if I snap my fingers and turn him into Michael Kopech?
Michael Kopech for Canario? No. No, I'm not doing that.
I don't think you really want help. I don't really think you want bullpen arms.
No, I do.
The Settlers.
But what about, got to be some guy like Philip Archambault from the middle of North Dakota that's fairly highly rated in our system in Class A.
The hot shooter from the NCAA tournament?
That's Jack Golke.
Or Archie Diacono. The old bull.
Ryan Archie. Maybe there's a Diacono in our system. I'm not giving up Canario yet. Let him play a little bit. Let's see what he does here.
However, let's not bury the lead.
Watching Velasquez. He's a good player for the Royals. What did I get? Jose Quas.
Fantastic.
My ass. Horrible trade.
My guy.
Horrible.
However, let's not bury the lead in the PCA. Here comes PCA! Where is he? Should he be helping the ball club?
He's not ready.
He's not ready.
There's a breeze coming up State Street off of a swing and miss he had last night.
PCA, here he comes, Jesse. PCA. You gave him initials before he was a star. Pete Crow Armstrong fills out a uniform, but doesn't fill out a roster for this team. Take that.
Not yet.
PCA. Canario's ahead of him.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a reason.
Canario's a beast.
Uh-huh.
Let's let him play.
Shay, can you squeeze in one more, sir?
Yeah, what the hell's going on with this cicada swarm? I brought it up in the Friday folder yesterday. Last night, I'm watching the White Sox.
Last week. Okay.
I'm watching the White Sox yesterday, and I just keep seeing these promos for the news on NBC5 talking about, we have your updated map for the cicada swarm. Everything you need to know to prepare for the cicadas this summer. And I'm like, what is this? I'm listening to Waddle and Sylvie the other day. They're talking about Zetterman told him the cicadas will try to attack you and pee on your face and all of these different things.
What?
Like, shot or no shot, should we be afraid of these cicadas?
No, my wife is a bug expert and was...
Well, clearly.
Yeah, no doubt about
it. She deals with your pest every day.
And she did all this research on the cicadas. Not a lot to worry about. No.
Is that what she told you?
Yes.
Okay. You asked her about this. You had a conversation at dinner?
A lengthy conversation.
About cicadas?
Yes.
Ah, life in the suburbs.
Yes.
So, hon, tell me about these cicadas. And pass me the coffee.
Yeah, pretty much. Like, she's into all that. Birds. It's the worst when you're, like, having coffee with her, and she's like, oh, that's a yellow-bellied, spectacled, you know, whatever bird. And I'm like,
robbing you out. Yeah.
I'm like, you have no idea what that is. And then she goes out her computer and turns it around like you do with the screen and goes, there you go. And she's right. So I bought her a birdhouse that says, Mindy is always right. Yeah, she's all into this cicada thing. All in.
Wow. You know, that I would be concerned, yes, with the cicadas. Absolutely. The cicadas swarm, I would be concerned. Because you never know, man. What kind of diseases are they holding?
None. There is no,
I don't know,
risk.
Okay. What about the city cicadas?
I can't speak for that.
But aren't these ones like special zombie cicadas that have some kind of fungus and you're not supposed to touch them? They got a fungus. Cap, have you seen this? They got a fungus.
Yes.
That they get infected, and then it removes their genitals, and then they, even though they don't have them anymore, they become, like, hypersexualized. That's the story.
Yes,
they're
I've
trying
seen
to mate despite they don't have the tools.
It's a south-side cicada.
And you can't touch them, and, like, some people cook them. They'll grill it, like, they'll put them on kebab things. You can't do that with these ones because they've got a disease. They've got some fungus.
No. Though the idea of a cicada apocalypse may seem foreboding, this is ABC7, experts predict the two broods won't overlap significantly, and the bugs themselves, while loud and numerous, are harmless.
Jay Moore, run. Here come the cicadas. All is well. All is well. And that is a shot at O-Shot right here on Chicago's Home for Sports. Coming up next, Around the NFL on Chicago's Home for Sports.
Follow Chicago's Home for Sports on Twitch at ESPN 1000 Chicago. Cap and Jay Hood are back on Chicago's Home for Sports. ESPN Chicago.
Nick Foles sucks. He sucks.
I'm just a fan. I'm not a football evaluator.
I love the Green Bay Packers.
The guy is drunk, but there he goes.
This is not Detroit, man. This is the Super Bowl.
I want winners.
He starts to come and then he pulls out.
This is a really thickly built guy.
I mean, what's the answer you're looking for on these things here?
It's time to go around the NFL right here on Cap and Jay Hood on ESPN 1000 and streaming on the ESPN Chicago app. Don't forget, Deal Breakers comes your way at 8:35. Around the NFL, here's Shay Norling. Shay?
Hoodie, I'm feeling a little fiery today. I've got some opinions ahead of the draft, and I want to start...
today.
Well, maybe especially today. Uh-huh. I want to start with an argument Cap and I had about half an hour ago. Oh. Here's why I'm not drafting a wide receiver in the first round, personally. Not with the ninth pick. I'm not moving up for one. I've been consistent on this. I want an edge rusher. Now, I'll preface this by saying I am somebody who believes in this modern age of football, the two most important pieces on your team outside of your offensive line. So I'll say three most important pieces. You have your quarterback, you have the guys protecting your quarterback, and you have the guys rushing opposing quarterbacks. That's the three top most important positions on your football team for me in the year of our Lord 2024. Look no further than, I don't know, the Houston Texans, who drafted their quarterback and traded up in the same draft, not for a wide receiver, but for Will Anderson, and then went out and traded for or signed Danielle Walker. That's what you got to do in this league.
That'd be Danielle Hunter.
Danielle Hunter. Whatever. I'm fiery. I'm moving too quickly for myself. Anyway, CBS Sports Top 100. How many of the top 100 were wide receivers?
The top 100 what?
In this draft.
Of top 100, I'm going to say four.
Seven.
How about 17? You can find these guys anywhere. I've always believed it. Tyreek Hill, fifth round, for reasons, but sure, fifth round pick. Puka Nacua a year ago, fifth round pick. Amon-Ra St. Brown. List goes on. Nico Collins and Tank Dell led the way for Houston. I must have missed where they were top 10 picks. No, they just found their quarterback.
No, so they could go trade a second round and more so they could get Diggs because we don't have a star.
Oh, my gosh. It's almost like all pro receivers get moved every offseason. Here's another thing.
Just remember, Shay... is a Patriots fan in which the wide receiver was not necessarily a luxury.
Correct.
He comes from a team where the system matters. If you pick up a wide receiver and if he can run your system, that's fine.
Correct.
But that doesn't work for everybody.
Correct. And he's going to pay Diggs $25 million a year when I might be able to get a superstar on a five-year deal. Rookie.
Absolutely. I'm not arguing the financial aspect. I'm just telling you, you can get wide receivers in the late rounds, and all pro guys get moved every offseason. Davante Adams got traded. Tyreek Hill got traded. Stephon Diggs has now been traded. Justin Jefferson sounds like could get traded next offseason if he's not happy with a franchise tag. A lot of stuff going on in terms of wide receivers on the move, and not just like middle-of-the-pack ones, the best ones in the league. By the way, out of the top 10 leading receivers by yardage last season, one was a first-round pick. Out of the top 10 graded edge rushers at PFF last year, six were first-round picks. Five of them were in the top five. Seems pretty clear to me where the elite talent is found at these positions. You want to get an elite edge rusher, you don't find them. You have to draft them early. You want to get an elite wide receiver? You can trade for them when they get disgruntled someplace. And half of them, actually, 9 out of 10 of the top 10 get found in later rounds. I'm not doing it.
I don't disagree with your premise. I kept saying to you, who's the best guy on my board? If it's Dallas Turner, I love him. Get him. All I said to you was, if I can get Marvin Harrison and here was the price, it is definitely worth considering. I can't afford Davante Adams next year at age 31 and a massive, huge contract. I'm getting a guy like that potentially on a rookie deal for 5 years. Worth discussion.
Shay?
Am I crazy for thinking this storyline is a little too public to actually happen? Everybody is talking about the Vikings moving up to trade for a quarterback. Mm-hmm. Vikings are meeting with Jaden Daniels today. They want to move up, it sounds like, and draft a quarterback in this draft. They pick at 11. But I feel like the smoke has just gotten too thick for this to actually happen. When you think about the NFL draft and the teams that move up to draft a quarterback, typically it's not the one everybody thinks is going to. It's the Bears out of nowhere moving up and getting Justin Fields. It's always teams you don't expect that make these moves. It's very rare that it's the team everyone is reporting will do it that actually does it. So, I don't think the Vikings are moving up.
So you've seen what I've seen then. So 11-3 or 11-4, getting into the top five of the draft. You saw this too, correct? With the Vikings?
I did, yes.
Okay. So
that's why they made the trade with Houston to acquire pick 23.
I'm just wondering, Shay, whether or not you're shaking your boots that the Vikings and the Patriots will be making a deal where the Vikings try to get up to three to try to get themselves a Drake May.
I'm not really, because from what I've heard, if May's on the board at three, he's going to New England.
We've been saying that for months. Yeah. I think that's the best place for Drake May. I'm not the biggest Jaden Daniels fan. I think that May with the Patriots can get it turned quicker than they could with Jaden Daniels to me. Jaden Daniels to me is like the next coming of RG3, which is not bad when he was healthy. But that's what I see. I would say that if the Vikings trying to get into the top five or top four, Cap, you can understand why. They need a quarterback yesterday.
And they have a quarterback-friendly head coach, Kevin O'Connell, who's like, I need my guy now, period.
Before Jefferson gets really disgruntled. You think that's going to be a smooth ride this upcoming season? It will not. Whatever you think of Kirk Cousins, at least he kept the boat in the water.
Yeah, the rig is on the road.
Not now. That's Sam Darnold's job, right?
Correct.
Okay. Just telling you. Like once upon a time, that might have been a thing. He's a placeholder for what's next.
That's correct.
So
that'll be all.
But you can understand, Shay, why they're trying to get in there, because they look at the quarterback situation. They can't be confident in that.
Of course, I don't think they're confident in it, but I just wonder if they're really that motivated to move up. And if they were, would we know this much about it? Like, this is lying season. I always think whatever you're hearing teams are interested in doing, I'm actually happy that we're all mystified by what the Bears are going to do at 9, because it means they aren't leaking any plans. Mm-hmm. But I always kind of feel like this time of year, you start hearing what teams' plans are, you are only hearing what the teams want you to hear.
That's correct. Yeah, that's part of the negotiation. Absolutely. All right, what's next?
J.J. McCarthy, I think, is pretty much the most polarizing player in this draft. Everybody we've talked to, I mean, Breer's told us there are people who think he's a top five pick, no doubt.
Yep.
There are other people who think he's a second round grade and they wouldn't take him in the top 30. There are people who think he can't play. There are people who think he's a superstar. I think every year there is a quarterback that people assume will go in the top 10, top 5, wherever, and ends up still being on the board around pick 20. I don't think JJ's going to fall that far, but part of why I wonder if the Vikings are going to trade up is I think he might be there at 11.
McCarthy at 11 to the Vikings.
I don't believe it.
You still think it's going to be a quarterback role 1 through 4. Jay Moore.
Now, Cap and I have a show bet. I said he was going to go around 13. And Cap said if he goes before 13, he gets to submit the Grammy ballot. So
how about that?
Remember last year, Will Levis.
Bruce Springsteen's going to be on every category.
That's right. Best rap album.
Bruce Springsteen.
Now you're going to spoil his. Now he'll never vote again after that.
Right. Scarred.
Hey, man, I got your ballot. Why is Paul Anka on this, man? Oh.
Frank Sinatra, best rapper?
That's really odd. Dude. Man, what's wrong with you, man?
Frank Sinatra featuring T-Pain.
Go ahead, Shay.
No, I was just going to say, last year, Will Levis, and like I think the day before the draft, he had the second best odds to go number one in the draft.
Oh, my God.
He ended up going in the second round.
Yes.
So every year, there's a guy, like Kuiper, I think, was putting Will Levis potentially as the number one pick. Every year, there's a guy, people go, that guy's going to come off the board first, second, or third. And they end up falling into the 20s. This year, I think the quarterbacks are better than normal. But, yeah, I think Jay Moore was onto something. I think JJ could be on the board at 11. I don't know if he slips past Minnesota, but he'll be there, I think.
All right, that's around the NFL, and Deal Breakers is right around the corner. You're listening to the Cap and J Hood Morning Show.
Here's today's headlines with Cap and J Hood.
Cap and J Hood Show is brought to you by the Village of Bolingbrook. Elevate your business at bbolingbrook.com. Oh, golf season here. Check out Bolingbrook Country Club. It is public, and it is awesome. Bulls won their play-in game over the Atlanta Hawks last night. 42 from Kobe White. Bulls get the Heat for a chance to go to the playoffs tomorrow. And breaking right now, Adrian Wojnarowski of ESPN reporting Jimmy Butler gone several weeks with a sprained MCL in his knee and will not obviously be available tomorrow.
Dang.
White Sox split their doubleheader with Kansas City. They blew a 2-1 lead in the eighth. Michael Kopech serving up a gopher ball to Salvador Perez. But they hung on for a 2-1 win in game two. Sox did not score more than two runs in any game in the series. They have the day off. They're in Philly tomorrow. Cubs won in Arizona yesterday 5-3. Finished the West Coast roadie 5-4. They improved to 11-7. They are a half game out of first place. Hayden Wisniewski threw four innings, allowed just one hit in the game. The Cubs will play the Marlins at Wrigley tonight at 6:40. Jameson Taillon coming off the injured list to make the start.
A bye.
And, wow.
What?
Fanatic. There's no byes in pro sports, baby.
Okay, I'm going to need you to stop saying that.
Fanatics.
Last time you said that, what happened?
Damn.
The Cubs ran over the Rockies.
Still got to show up and play the game.
They're going to beat the Marlins' ass.
Fanatics announced that Caitlin Clark's Indiana Fever jersey will not ship now until August due to Nike manufacturing issues. After it became, get this, the top-selling jersey in Fanatics history. Take that, haters.
Jay Moore!
Follow Chicago's Home for Sports on Twitter at ESPN 1000. Cap and Jay Hood are back on ESPN Chicago. Chicago's Home for Sports.
We all have to make choices in sports and in life. It could be running on third down.
You ran the same third down situation, and you ran the same play twice. You're getting paid for that.
I cannot believe the call.
Or managing finances.
This country, you've got to make the money first.
Or it could be a deal breaker.
Time for Deal Breakers on the Cap and J Hood Morning Show on ESPN 1000 and streaming on the ESPN Chicago app. Deal Breakers is brought to you by
Affinity Whole Health.
Go ahead.
And Feel Great, Illinois.com. For more energy, more drive, and increased libido, go to FeelGreatIllinois.com. Shane Orley.
I get to Deal Breakers in a moment. Cap read something in the breaking news. Jimmy Butler out for, what did they say, several weeks? If you're the Heat, don't you just throw the game? Your best player's out for several weeks. Don't you just get yourself a lottery pick?
Stop the music.
Mr. Motor City, let me just clue you in.
Mr. Motor City.
Players don't show up and tank
games. I'm not saying players will show up and tank games. I'm saying you bet. Straight up bench some of your better players.
Who's that fat dude with the ball for the Heat? He was in section 326. We want a tank, so we asked him to play. That's not what happens, dude. These guys go out and they're professionals. They play hard.
I'm not talking about the players.
What are you gonna do?
Eric Spoelstra, you're the G. If you're Pat Riley, don't you just go, why are we playing these guys? What are we doing? We're going to take ourselves out of the lottery for a playoff series against Boston where we don't even have our best player?
So,
what are we doing?
So you're telling me that they should bench their guys?
I would. What are you going to do?
No, you would not.
You don't
get
have
fined.
Your best player. I would lose the game. You don't have your best player. What's the point of getting murdered by Boston without your best player?
It's not how it works, Jay.
To be practical, the way the Bulls are playing in the momentum, Jay, it's going to happen anyway. The Heat have not played good basketball anyway. And so with Jimmy Butler, it's going to be even more hard. So they're going to lose anyway. Now, you don't have to throw the game. You don't have to do that. And by the way, that would be looking really suspicious now in the play-in for you to be playing backup players.
Yeah.
So the point is that...
I'm not saying it's right.
What I'm saying is that they're probably going to lose anyway without that suggestion.
He's correct.
$1 million parlay for the Bulls?
Yeah. Jonte Norling.
That's, I mean, that's just not what happens. Organizations do not show up and go, hey, put that beer tray down. Can you dribble it all? We'd like to put you in the lineup tonight. We got to guarantee we lose. And the first phone call is from the freaking Board of Governors. Yeah, we'd like to meet you in New York tomorrow. We're fining you.
And the way Riley,
$1 million.
The way Riley and Morning's been running that organization, draft pick, no draft pick, they're not very good. They're not what they used to be at all.
They're not.
As far as their front office is concerned. Shining up Yaquez as a star.
Well, Tyler Hero
is horrible. Just that the way they're running things, not great. Deal breakers.
Twitch chat says, just ask Harrow to shoot 6 of 36. Nobody will bat an eye.
It'll happen anyway.
Just tell Tyler Harrow, take 40 shots.
Take 40 shots, score 30, and give up 40.
Just lose.
Yeah.
Like, if I were a Heat fan, I would want to lose the game.
Here's Shane Orling. With deal breakers, apparently.
That's my relationship with sports, though. It's different.
Brought to you by...
All right, we got it.
Wow.
Let's get started with deal breakers. Your friend invites you on his bachelor... Your friend invites you on his bachelor party a few months before his wedding. The plan is to split an Airbnb in Florida, fill a weekend with golf, partying, nice dinners. One problem. The Airbnb he chose is a small town in Florida with the closest airport over an hour away. To make this realistic, you're either going to have to do a $100 Uber or rent a car. You're also going to have to pay for the Airbnb. Also, the airports are small enough. The cheapest flight down is $600.
Oh, my God.
All in all, this trip is going to end up costing you north of $1,000. You're blowing a stack on someone else's bachelor party. You're not even going to a casino. Would you still go?
Well, can I afford to do this? Am I, oh, God, I don't know how I'm paying the credit card bill from this.
Oh, just even if you could, would you? I guess that's the question.
How close am I to the person? Seriously. Like, seriously close.
Like, probably pretty close, right, Jay? If you're going to answer the question, pretty close.
I mean, you're invited on the bachelor party. I don't think, like, who gets married and is like, I'm going to invite my 15th power-ranked friend on my bachelor party? It's a pretty tight-knit group, I would think. I'm going to invite some acquaintance.
I mean, if it's my, you know, closest childhood friend, Hoodie was getting married, and he's like, bro, I really want you to be at the bachelor party.
You'd be there.
If you told me we were going to Bible study, I would go, because I would be there for you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And you're a minister, so of course you'd be there.
Correct. Yes. I would lead it.
Yes. So there's always that.
I got a lot of reaction on the Whitey Herzog eulogy. I may get some side gigs out of this.
So, Cap, I would tell you that, I'd go, especially if it's a friend. Now, listen, here's the thing. Here's the thing that's weird about this, Shay. Like, small airport and costing that much, usually you can get a little something. I mean, it's not a direct flight, clearly, if it's a small airport, you know, more times than not.
Right.
But, boy, that seems really pricey. That airport, that's the thing that might be a problem.
Yeah, if it's somebody that I truly care about,
prop plane,
I would be there. If I could afford to do it, I would be there.
Yes. And paying for the Airbnb, you said, too, right, Shay? Yeah, you got to pay for the...
Yeah, of course. Yeah. Well, the bachelor's not paying. Everybody else has to split the fee.
Yeah. If I could afford it and the person meant something to me...
Sure.
I mean, I look back at my wedding to Mindy. There's people I'm like, I can't believe I invited them to my wedding. I haven't spoken to them in 15 years.
I look at that as well.
Right.
Yes. Got 415 people at the wedding.
What if you're not standing in the wedding? You're invited on the bachelor party, but you're not standing in the wedding, and this is going to cost you
$1,500. That's fine.
I'm not going.
But you know what, though? That's fine. I could sit in a pew instead of standing up there like a stiff.
Right.
I'd be comfortable. All right, go ahead. Go ahead, Padre.
Yeah.
Roll it.
CC, Padre.
go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, again, if it's someone fine. That I'm like, yeah, we're friends, but I mean, I'm not like,
yeah, it's fine.
That dude's in my heart.
Not a deal breaker.
Yeah, I'm not going. But it's not a deal breaker.
No, it's not. All right, what's the next one?
All right, another friend is getting married.
Yes.
When they send out the invitations, the wedding is in Punta Cana, Dominican Republic.
Mm-hmm.
This means you're going to have to pay for a flight. You're going to have to pay for lodging. You're going to have to get a wedding gift. You're going to have to pay for all of these different things.
Mm-hmm.
This is not a close friend. This is just a friend. You're one of 200 at this wedding. Also, you found out that the couple is getting married in the States in a private ceremony before going to the Dominican because they said it's too expensive to actually get married abroad while asking you to spend thousands to come to their wedding in the Dominican. Would you still go to this sham wedding?
No, I would not go.
I would not go. I don't go to local weddings, let alone get on a plane for someone I'm not that close to.
I would not go.
I'm out.
I would not go. And there is a scenario that happened similar to that in my life in which I found out that there was a private secret wedding someplace. And it's like, oh, but come to the wedding. Everyone thinks we're getting married, but actually it's just a ceremony. Oh, it's just a ceremony? And I wasn't invited to the actual wedding? I was supposed to be close to this person? No shot. So long.
So long, everybody.
Oh, the car came in the mail. How about no? Immediately, right back. No. No, you can't do it. Like, if I'm your friend and you're getting married, and then you have this other ceremony that I got to pay for when you've already gotten married? No.
Yeah.
Nope. Not doing it.
I'm not going.
I feel like the destination wedding is also just a trend that should go away. Die. If I want to go on vacation, I'm going to go on vacation with my wife and go where I want to go and have a good time doing what we want to do. If you're going to make me go on vacation for your wedding, I'm not really that interested.
Yes.
Then don't go.
It's a honeymoon.
Well, I wouldn't. That's my point. I wouldn't go.
I would go on a destination wedding if it was someone I was... Again, if Hoodie came to me, we were walking out. We leave here together every day.
Yep.
And he said, hey, bro, guess what? I'm getting married. Oh, dude, that's awesome. I want you to be at the wedding. We're going to have like 30 people. We're going to St. Lucia.
Mm-hmm.
Give me the dates. Yep, I'm in. Mindy, we're going to St. Lucia. Hoodie's getting married. I would be there. Now, if it was
NASA space station.
Houston? <Yeah.
laughs> No, but if it was like somebody, somebody that I see at the gym who's like, you know, acquaintance. I say, hey, buddy, how you doing today? Hey, man, I want you to be at my wedding. I see you every day. No, I'm not going.
More deal breakers around the corner on the Cap and J-Hood Boarding Show.
Cap and J-Hood are back.
Just when I thought I was out, they pulled me back in.
On Chicago's home for sports, ESPN Chicago.
Deal breakers. Here's Shay Norling. Shay, stand up.
Southside, stand up. We're 3-50.
Stand up, Stone Pony. Yes. Hell yeah.
I just don't think. No, I'm not going to.
Hey, young man, we've won 3 games. Calm down. Stand up, though. Young man, there's 4 people in the stands. So long, everybody.
The 4 of you. Stand up.
Here's Shay Norley. Shay.
Tyler Aki stood up to leave.
Yep. Yeah. Goodbye.
I got to go to the Bulls game.
What's up? Here's Shay Norley. That's my limited Tyler. That's it. What's up?
Shay.
All right.
What's up?
You have a vacation plan to see your daughter and her husband in their new home in Boston. Your son-in-law's from New England, has family nearby that he sees very often. Your daughter tells you, a couple weeks before you plan on visiting, that the same weekend you've planned to visit, her in-laws are going to be staying in the house with you.
What's up?
Would you go to a full house with the in-laws or cancel your trip and pick a different weekend to visit?
Wow. First of all, when you make, so we've made plans in advance of the in-laws. It's not like we're trying to hone in on their weekend. Correct?
That's correct.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it's, they should have at least called and said, hey, Hoodie, or Dad, we've, so-and-so's parents also want to come. That's the best weekend for them. Are you cool if everyone's together? Do we get along with these people or we don't like them?
You get along fine, but you're not friends.
Okay. I think the kids are 100% in the wrong. They should have at least reached out.
Yes.
And then we could have said, sweetheart, tell your husband, that's fine. His parents can come. We'll just pick a different weekend. We want to spend time with you.
Yeah, I think that's fair. See, a lot of this is based on communication, Cap.
Correct.
A lot of this is communication.
Correct.
And so that's when you reach out. I understand what's happening here, but I just like to spend more time with you in particular.
Correct. We don't get to, yeah. I take it we live here and they live in Boston, right?
Correct.
Okay, so we don't get to see them. It's not like we go, yeah. Hey, you want to meet for dinner?
Yeah.
No, because we live, whatever, 1,500 miles away, 1,000, whatever that is.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, the kids are in the wrong here.
I would say so, yes.
100%. Now.
But is a deal breaker, though?
Do I have another available weekend? Like, from my perspective, summer's coming.
Yes.
I like to run up to Wisconsin every weekend.
Mm-hmm.
So, am I giving that up so that we can be alone with them on another weekend? I'd probably grit my teeth and go through with it.
Mm-hmm.
Because I want to see my kids.
Yes.
But I would be like, deep down, yeah, that was mishandled.
Yes. Shay?
All right. You have gone on a few dates with a woman who checks every single box that you are looking for. Good looking, good job, happy family life, really good sense of humor. Just one problem. She has an absolutely brutal laugh.
Like a hyena.
Kind of laugh. Just saw nails on a chalkboard. Yeah, like Janice and Friends. Whatever it is to you, that is the worst laugh you've ever heard.
I never saw Friends. What was her laugh?
It's like a high-pitched cackle.
Okay.
Like fast, high-pitched cackling.
I just thought you mispronounced living single. Go ahead.
Oh. Wow.
Is this a deal breaker? Basically, could you date a person who has just a horrible laugh?
How hot?
Dude, I honestly don't know if it matters. Like, maybe for you, but for me, I don't care how good looking you are. If I can't listen to you laugh, I gotta go.
So we're talking about, at least in character, like Fran Drescher. That kind of laugh.
Yeah. Yes, I mean, there's a little snort to it. It's like cackly. It's a lot of really breathy inhales. It's like a lot of efforts going into the laughter.
So couldn't we get like a speech therapist?
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God. Speech therapist.
And work with her on the laugh.
I think you're great, but we got to put you in speech therapy. We got to figure this out.
I speak fine.
Could you imagine? It's like, hon, let me tell you. I mean, come on. You tell a joke and all of a sudden she just, it's this crazy sounds that come out of her, out of every orifice.
There's snot running down her face during the laughter.
That would be, that'd probably be a deal breaker.
You're on a date with Selma Hayek, but when she laughs, she snorts, there's snot, she's inhaling deeply, it's cackling.
Yeah, it would probably be a deal breaker unless we could go to like a speech therapist or someone to fix this.
Hon, pull my finger.
You're so funny.
I couldn't do it.
Could you imagine that? Holy smokes.
I couldn't do it.
I mean, you're a Chicago cut, man. It's a bit, hon, we're going to try to get this business deal for the recap of YouTube, okay? I want you to be there. Just be there with me. Of course, hon. Of course, I'll always be there to support you. Hey, Cap, should have saw this guy in college.
Really? Tell me about college. Oh, my God. Tell me more.
Oh, God. And cut.
Yeah, I'm out.
Cap.
Everybody looking at you now.
I don't care how hot she is, how wildly talented she is in so many areas. No, I couldn't do it.
But hot, though.
Yeah,
she looks, she's dressed well. I mean, she's well-to-do.
Yeah.
No. But just that.
What if your kid had a brutal laugh? Would you tell them they got to change it?
Absolutely.
Like, your kid's in high school, and his laugh's just terrible. Would you be like, buddy, you got to work on that. We got to fix this.
He's Horshack.
Yeah.
What if he's got that?
I couldn't do it. That would be a problem.
From Kata.
Yeah.
Oh, Mr. Carter, Mr. Cartier, Mr. Carter, Mr. Oh, God. Could you imagine?
Is that guy still alive? Ron Palillo? Wasn't that who the actor was?
Yes. The Bulls advance with the win over the Hawks. We talk about it next. Everyone's laughing at the United Center.
We talk about it in 2 minutes on Cap and J-Hood.